Hello, this is Dr. Janie, your adjunct professor. And today is March 7th, Thursday. And I just wanted to take this moment to sort of make a line, a differentiation, a distinction between where we are now here at your adjunct professor. Yeah, a plodding forward. So far, the first 11 episodes were what I'm now thinking or calling. It occurred to me as I was in this process that is sort of following along an academic term. So the first 12 episodes are Spring 1, 2024. And I took a little break and I'm now preparing for spring two. And as I am taking that break, not lost on me that this episode I'm recording today to announce the start of a new season here at YAP. I'm back on the trail at Lake Poway. I started this several months ago, back in December, embracing the idea of, it doesn't have to be perfect before you try. And little did I know what I was embarking on, but I knew I was compelled to. And I feel really proud of the effort and really excited to hear from many of you about what your experience has been. I've heard from lots of people who are sharing with me that they've been listening. And, that's really the whole purpose of the podcast is to leave something behind. So as I look back, embracing the wabi-sabiness of it all, looking at the first couple episodes, episodes one and two really are just all about making a connection. I wanted to connect with you. I wanted to connect with my friends. I wanted to connect with myself and to understand this process, this dissertation process that I just completed. It's so odd to be now. As I look back, October 27th is when I participated in commencement, and so much of my life for the previous like 6 or 7 years had been focused on that moment. It was ahead of me for so long, and now it's behind me. So interesting. Doesn't feel at all like I thought. It feels more amazing than I could have imagined, and also, in some ways, more terrifying. Terrifying in the sense that, I've been saying to my friends, like, the easiest part of getting this PhD was actually getting it. The hardest part has been trying to figure out what to do next. And so, those first two episodes were really about connecting with you and making you understand, I or sharing with you the purpose and the intention. You're not alone. Then I started to talk about the literature review process. And I'm still really, I talked to lots of my friends and colleagues who are struggling with the literature review. I'm working with a group of scholars now who are plodding their way through the literature review. And I want to remind anybody who is thinking about that process to really take a listen to episode three. It's one of the first times that I talk about literature review. And I'm going to talk about it again in this season. But a little more in depth. But the big idea about the literature review is that the librarian, a librarian, librarians are magic, as I'm often saying. The librarian knows where the literature is. It's your job to bring to the librarian what you're interested in finding out about, what your research question is, or what the broad strokes of your topic is. And the librarian will help you find where there are intersections and making sure that you are finding the articles within the last 6 years. And that's really the key to a good literature review. And what you do beyond that has to do with bringing your scholarship to life. I'm looking forward to talking about that. The first interview was episode four with Marla Curtis. That one was so fun. It was the first time I got my idea up and out of the office, out of my home office, and on its feet and out into the world. Let's set some context. First of all, we're not in the same place. I'm in California. What state are you in?
I am in Texas.
I like to say I'm like in California, or I mean, either in California or the state of confusion, but nevertheless, it's 6 a.m. in the morning here, and well, it's 8 o'clock there. I'm walking. I just actually started walking. I do this walk every day. And you are you walking?
I am on my treadmill walking.
Uh-huh.
Because of the weather. And so you may hear me be out of breath, but that's okay. We're going to get it done.
Well, that's kind of the feature of this podcast, is that, you know, I spent so much time, and you're in the process that you're going to find this to be true as well. I spent so much time sitting down that I really needed to, for health reasons and just for my mental health reasons, I needed to get moving again. Where, you know, a lot of podcasts, and I've been on other podcasts, and I've had a podcast a long time ago. The podcast that I really kind of have been a part of is in sort of a pretty controlled atmosphere where you can control sound and everything that goes on. And this is a little dangerous. We're outside, we're using Zoom. I'm in a location. My guest is in a different location. Usually I'm walking in the morning, very early in the morning, like 5 in the morning. And we don't know really what we're going to talk about. I've done my research. My research is really in my head. I don't have any notes. I don't have anything to write anything down. So, and my guest and I are really out there kind of on a proverbial tightrope, trying to answer some particular questions and really to connect. And I've heard from a lot of you about the takeaway from Marla's episode. And it's so fun, interesting to just, it was, as I listen back and sort of still have conversations with Marla, because I work with her, helping her with her as a coach, to see the development of the idea and to understand really the power of, you know, understanding and connecting with each other. You really do need a community. I've gotten a chance to peek into the literature on the statistics around dissertation completion. And, you know, it's startling. I'm going to bring some of that research to an upcoming podcast episode. But Marla certainly gave me the courage to realize that, you know, we can do this. I can do this. We can get out in the world. And, you know, maybe sometimes the signal's a little weak, so we have to adjust. And hopefully, I hope that it makes for interesting listening on your side. Episode 5, we start talking about academic integrity, and 5 and 6, academic integrity, where I have been fascinated by what's happening, or what happened, with Dr. Claudine Gay of Harvard, the president, and talking about what is plagiarism, what is similarity, and what's happening in institutions all over the world with the advent of artificial intelligence. I find that my stance on artificial intelligence has definitely changed. The institutions that I work for, and one in particular, has taken a real proactive measures on educating us on what generative AI is. That's artificial intelligence that can generate, that sort of acts as if you're talking to a person. What it is, how it can be used, how to identify its limitations, and starting to think about some policies that sort of guide or dictate or govern how students are allowed to use it. And I'm actively doing that right now in a way that I never anticipated. As I've shared in previous episodes, I'm teaching at every level, associate, undergrad, grad, doctorate. And yes, there are some of the same problems at every level. But what I'm starting to see is how, for instance, I'm teaching statistics. And you know, students really struggle with math phobia. And I'm showing students how to use ChatGPT, for instance, to explain to you certain concepts like what is variance and standard deviation, or even before that, sum of squares, and how that helps you find variance, how variance helps you find the standard deviation, and really what all that is in terms of how you get to z-scores and probability. ChatGPT, you can type it in and say, what is variance? It'll give you an answer. And if you don't understand an answer, you can say, now explain that to me like I'm a 5-year-old or 10-year-old. And it gives you these really great answers and responses. And students now can have an interaction where they might have just been stuck before. But so going back to sort of the larger conversation really is, what is academic integrity, which was sort of at the heart of, seemingly at the heart of the Dr. Gay issue, I don't want to say scandal issue, around what is plagiarism and how perhaps those ideas have changed from what Dr. Gay published her dissertation to now, and really what was at the center of that. Be interesting. I'm planning to have a round table of scholars to talk about this issue because I think it's an important issue. Then my next conversation with my friend and mentee and colleague, DeAndre Rudiges, who is really close to defending his dissertation real soon.
Psychological capital. So I try to make this as simple as possible because the definition for psych cap is very long. But ultimately, what I like to share with people is that it's basically our psychological resources to experience hope, self-efficacy, resiliency, and optimism. And my studies have shown that you can develop these capacities through micro intervention training. So basically 1 to 2 hours long training that focuses on each individual construct. So generally, it'll be a training that is imbued by the operationalization of, did I say it right?
Operationalization.
Yeah, I think, okay, operationalization. Said construct.
We talked about, you know, the process of writing and how important it is to have a good relationship with your chair, and how important it is to choose a chair, and then how to manage that relationship. And then I started realizing that the podcast was also an opportunity to teach. I'm sharing the same information week after week, class after class with students. So I created an episode 8, a video episode that explains how to use APA citations. And so there's an audio and a visual, audio and a video component, so you can listen to or watch. And hopefully some of my students have commented how helpful it's been. I hope that it is the beginning of scholars at every level gaining some very important confidence in this important skill. It's been a while since I injured myself a couple weeks ago, so I haven't been able to walk since mid-January. Interesting trying to come back. So literally, today's podcast is me plodding forward. But when I think about the episode that had the most impact on me personally, and the one that I keep hearing a lot about, is episode 9 with my friend Carla Shelley Walker.
We share the same story. It does not matter the denomination. It does not matter the geographical region. It does not matter even our age to some extent. The younger, or I would say the preacher's children coming up now, do not have the same experience because the world is different. But anyone in within a 20-year radius of myself, we all have that same
trauma. Experience.
Yes, and trauma. Same it is trauma. A trauma. Yes, it is a trauma. And it is...
And the fact that she has gone back to complete her PhD after many years, 10 years of being what's called, hey, Hawk, being all but dissertation. And just the healing that, as she and I continue to talk about this journey, the healing that is continuing to unfold with her and her parents, her sister, and herself around her experience, which I think is such, which is why I think that qualitative research is such a powerful, powerful methodology from which to look at research questions. We talked about in episode 10, how to create an essay from scratch, because often students are afraid, they don't quite know how to create an essay, the form, the structure. So I broke that down. But I want to say to anybody who was thinking about this, all of the answers for how to be confident in your APA style writing, 7th edition, which is where we are now, is in the manual. The manual is like $27. And I cannot tell you how many times, no matter how many times this book, the APA publication manual, is in the syllabus. I stress to students that it's an important desk reference. When I talk to them, I'm so surprised by how many still just don't have one. So if you are a student and you're trying to complete, complete your degree, no matter what level of degree it is. If your organization, if your institution uses APA, there are others, MLA, Chicago, there's several, JAMA, but most institutions use APA. Do yourself a favor and get yourself a manual. And I think it was, as I look back, it wasn't planned, but episodes 11 and 12 were a single guest, Carol, my friend Carol Fitzsimmons, is getting her ED, education doctorate, and a master's as well, focusing on restorative justice.
So I am... I'm doing two programs at once. My doctoral program is a doctorate of education through University of Missouri St. Louis, and it has a long name. It's called Heritage Leadership for Sustainability, Social Justice, and Participatory Culture. And it's a 3-year cohort program. It's online, so people are from, there's a lot of teachers, but there's also National Park rangers, there's museum people, there's all different kinds of people that are thinking about what it means to understand. We have a lot of places in our country, well, in our world, but specifically our country, where there's difficult history, where a place where something has happened, and there's differing views about what happened there and the importance and the meaning that it makes. And this is a doctoral program that's focusing on some of those different sites around the country and trying to understand how to help how to help people that are in the field, interpreters, help the public that come to those places make meaning of those places in ways that perhaps might even bring healing or reconciliation, if that's even possible. So that's the program. I'm also getting a degree in museum studies because I didn't have the master's to like carry me through. So I'm doing it both. I'm full time and thinking a lot about truth and healing and reconciliation and history and all of those things.
That episode was so chock full of information, and it was the first episode, maybe probably won't be the last, that I offered in two parts, kind of a cliffhanger. In that episode, we really took apart and looked at qualitative research as an approach, and specifically talked about how Carol is going about this topic, researching this topic in her program, which I find really fascinating. And stay tuned. There's an open invitation for Carol and her partner, her research partner, to come back and visit and share an update on their research. And I feel fairly confident that they will. So that's our first season, or what I'm calling Spring 1, 2024. In the next season, Spring 2, 2024, we're going to continue this work that we started, and I hope you are interested in joining me as a listener, and I even invite you to come along on a walk. So even though this podcast or podcast is dedicated to scholarly pursuits, I think that has to necessarily strictly be what we talk about. I hear from a lot of my friends who are not academics who say they are listening. And if you're ever interested and want to go on a walk and talk about something or ask a question, I think that'd be great. I certainly welcome it. As I bring this walk to a close, I'm excited about what's next. I invite you to think about that for yourself. What's next for you in your life? What's next for you in your work? And if you are completing a master's thesis or a dissertation, what's next for you in your journey? If you have questions, if I can support you here at Your Adjunct Professor, my website will be up pretty soon. You'll see that you can reach out to me for coaching, writing coaching, dissertation editing, and I'm really excited to offer a 10-week program on writing, so that in 10 weeks you can join me through a structured process. At the end of 10 weeks, you will have created one of the 5 chapters for your work. More to come on that, but until then, this is Dr. Jamie saying, keep moving forward. Welcome to Spring 2, 2024. Let's get it. Let's go. Hello, I'm Dr. Jamie, and welcome to episode 2 of what I'm calling my...
Hello.
This is Dr. Jamie, your adjunct professor, and today is Saturday, December 23rd.
I guess kind of piggybacking off of your idea, my birthday was just last week. I turned 56.
Happy birthday. It's a good year.
It's a good year.
And, you know, I'm begging the police officer. We're almost finished with Beowulf. Can he just wait to the end of class before you arrest him? We're almost there.
Looking back, what would you do differently if you could step into a time machine and do things differently? Is there anything you would do differently? And if so, what?
No way.
Yeah.
No way. So, you just blew my mind.
Yeah. And so that is one of the reasons why African Americans hold tight to the culture.
I'm telling you, it was glorious. It was glorious. But called on the carpet, I guess that must not have been very comfortable. It certainly, that moment lives rent-free in my head. But I don't think we've really ever talked about it. And if we have, I certainly didn't know what you're telling me now, being called on the carpet. What was that process like?